This is Collateral Banter episode 86. I'm your host, Danny T, and we got a good one for you today on the politics of France. That's right. I'm going to be talking French politics on this episode of Collateral Banter. Today is May 1st, May Day. I had to be in the studio. I'm starting to get in the rhythm of things here, getting in to record a couple episodes. Wanted to talk about today's topic because I saw this story last weekend or earlier this week, and it was pretty shocking of a story, and it relates to what is going on in France, a country that I have visited on multiple occasions, a country that I very much love and enjoy, the people, the food, the culture, the history. I love it. And I did want to say one thing first. There is somebody, I believe, listening in Copenhagen, also a beautiful city, beautiful people, beautiful country. I have visited once, studied abroad there in the summer, and I really enjoyed it. Fascinating how podcasting gets you a global audience, which probably didn't happen many years ago. But going back to France now, earlier this week, I believe, I saw an article that was a bit shocking when a French general or several French military officers wrote an article and in a right-wing newspaper in France. And essentially, they were warning that the country could descend into civil war. I think maybe because it was coming from the French military, it made me think that, wow, the French generals are now talking about a potential breakdown of the country itself. And that is what they're warning about. And I just felt like I had to start taking a look at what this all meant. It's not very common, and maybe I'm wrong about this, that French generals decide to wade into the political sphere, given that, from what I've read, there are laws that prevent the French generals from getting involved in politics. They need to stay neutral, right? So when they stop being neutral, I was fascinated to see, like, wait, what are they talking about here? What is it that the French generals who wrote a letter? So I want to start off by going to actually reading what the letter said. And I don't normally do this, but I think for this episode here on Collateral Banter, I've decided to try to actually read the article and give you a flavor, if you will, of what was actually written that got widespread international attention. It was in a letter published in Valeurs Actuelles. Actual values is I think what the translation of that is. I could be wrong about that. Valeurs Actuelles. Yes, my French is okay, as you can tell now. So I wanted for the American audience, who I don't think would be first even noticing this article, letting alone going to see what this article says, I'm going to give you a flavor. I'm not going to read the whole thing, although it isn't that long. And quite a few generals signed off to this letter. I'm bringing it up because in context of what has happened in the United States with the election of Donald Trump and with Brexit and Boris Johnson in the UK, which itself might be disintegrating, and now it has gone to France, it is this feeling of tension and unease that is building that the right seems to be focused on and using as a sort of a political weapon. I think here in the United States, you're seeing this in conversations about what wokeism is and cultural values and cultural fights between the left and the right and what the future holds. And so I look at this as sort of a letter within the mold of the cultural battles that are happening in the United States. But in today's decentralized environment that I speak so much about, it no longer stays within borders. It's a global idea, and ideas spread globally. And through the internet, through social media, through exchanges of contacts between those who live in the United States, those who live in France. And I don't want to overplay this letter. I don't think that most of the French military is necessarily behind this sentiment. But I think the importance of this letter is not so much that the military is 100% behind the letter, or even the majority of French officers behind this letter, but it is that this letter is a idea that is gaining significant traction within the political ideology of developed countries, developed democracies like France, right? It is a idea that certain people hold within the military of France, small number, very tiny number, but it is amplified into the wider society, into French politics. So in that sense, a small idea, even held by French military officers, could have wider and legal implications. That's the point of why I'm giving this air. I think it is indicative of a political fight that is going on within France that I think is really important. And the reason I bring this up is because a year from now, around this time, there will be elections for France's president. I'm going to talk about that in the second part of the episode. But right now, I'm going to go and at least give you a flavor here of this article. And I'm going to read it really quickly. But I wanted you to listen to it just to get an understanding of this letter. I'm going to do it in English here. My French isn't that good. So here's what it says. The hour is serious. France is in danger. Several mortal dangers threaten it. We who, even in retirement, remain soldiers of France cannot, in the current circumstances, remain indifferent to the fate of our beautiful country. Our tricolor flags are not just a piece of cloth. They symbolize the tradition through the ages of those who, whatever their skin color or their faith, served France and gave their lives for it. On these flags, we find golden letters, the words of honor and fatherland. However, our honor today lies in the denunciation of the disintegration which strikes our homeland. Discrimination which, through a certain anti-racist, is displayed with a single goal, to create on our soil a malaise, even a hatred between the communities. Today, some people speak of racialism, indigenism, decolonial theories. But through these terms, it is a racial war that these hateful and fanatic partisans want. They despise our country, its traditions, its cultures, want to see it dissolve by taking over its past and its history. Thus, they attack through statues, military and civilian glories by analyzing words that are centuries old. Discrimination, which Islamicism and the suburban hordes leads to the detachment of multiple plots of the nation to transform them into territories subject to dogmas contrary to our constitution. However, each French, whatever his or her belief, is everywhere at home in France. There cannot and must not exist any city, any district where the laws of the Republic do not apply. Now look, it goes on a little bit more, but I wanted to give out that sense of, you see how this is to them a sort of cultural wedge issue that the French right and the right wing, really, in the United States and everywhere else, it's not France only, but is able to sort of use that there is this spectrum of these ideas that exist also outside of French borders, really, if they're really looking at it, sort of decolonial theory, deconstruction of ideas, sort of the disintegration of the nation and values and law is really an attack on hierarchy, right? So this is something I've actually written an article about, that there is a sort of breakdown of hierarchy, right? And I think I've spoken about this in many episodes that I've done on Collateral Banter now, where power itself is being decentralized, right? For a bunch of different reasons that power is being decentralized. But as power is decentralized, and that doesn't mean that there isn't a hierarchy. Get that? Remember that. But as more power is decentralized away from hierarchical institutions, the world is more fluid and chaotic, right? It's now we're at war, but we're really not at war. There's a source of sense of what's really an authority. What's its truth? We're sort of in this breakdown era, right? Of essentially hierarchies and structures. And to the military, not just in France, but I would assume everywhere, they sense that this sort of order that they've expected that will it exist and would have existed forever is breaking down. Now, clearly, this doesn't speak for all French soldiers or the military, but it certainly speaks, I think, for a, I don't know how popular in the French military, but I would guess a large percentage, certainly a larger percentage than those who signed, which I think was at least like 15 retired French military officers. So here, I'm going to skip over the next paragraph, but I will quickly read just one or two more paragraphs here. It's going back to this article that was published in this French newspaper. Discrimination, because hatred takes precedent over brotherhood during demonstrations where the power uses the police as auxiliary agents and scapegoats in the face of French people in yellow vests expressing their despair. This while infiltrated and hooded individuals ransack businesses and threaten these same police forces. However, the latter only apply directives, sometimes contradictory, given by you, the rulers. I mean, in that paragraph, it seems like it is almost in an attack against the elites, right? It seems like there is a rumbling within the French military directed at the elected democratic officials in France. Now, look, again, the elites normally don't want to take a direct attack, thinking, well, the military's behind our side. Who are these individuals? They're no ranking. They're loners as isolated individuals. And my belief, and the reason I'm giving this so much time, is this idea is popular among the French military, certainly more than the elites would give it credence for, or would the French elite are in denial of how popular this opinion is within the French ranks. But I'm going to get to how popular this is among French people today. I'll get there. So here's another paragraph. Perils are mounting. Violence is increasing day by day. Who would have predicted 10 years ago that a professor would one day be beheaded when he left college? However, we, servants of a nation who have always been ready to put our skin at the end of our engagement, as our military state demanded, cannot be passive spectators before such actions. So there was a killing recently of a teacher, I think it was a high school teacher in France, and again, these sort of attacks kind of shake the French nation in some ways, and that's what the article is referring to. Well, let me continue on here. Okay, so at this point, I'm just going to read the last two paragraphs here of this letter. On the other hand, if nothing is done, laxity will continue to spread inexorably in society, ultimately causing an explosion and an intervention by our active comrades in a perilous mission of protecting our civilizational values and safeguarding our compatriots on the national territory. As we can see, it is no longer time to procrastinate. Otherwise, tomorrow, the civil war will put an end to this growing chaos and deaths for which you bear the responsibility will number in the thousands. And this clearly was meant to be provocative. This letter was released on the 60th anniversary of the failed coup to remove Charles de Gaulle, during the independence of Algeria. This coup was an attempt to prevent the independence of Algeria from occurring, and so they're releasing it on that. So there is that historical significance of when this was released as well. So I came to see this article here in The Guardian, which was pretty shocking. And so everything I read here to an American audience sounds pretty shocking. The military talking about the lack of moves by the French government to take on, you know, what they see as non-French values being instilled, and they can, you know, use Islamicism as this sort of boogeyman that they're destroying French civilizational values. And if the chaos continues, the French military will, you know, they're again, they're trying to paint a picture, which, by the way, as much as there have been incidents of terrorist attacks throughout the country in the last 5-6 years, and there has been changes to the French national security law that they've essentially enacted into law, many of the emergency powers given under the state of emergency that a French president declared. Despite all of that, you know, the power of politics is often to create an image or a future of something that is much darker than it is currently, right? So they're painting this picture that, you know, there is this chaos ensuing. Oh my goodness, this violence is about to erupt. It's almost like that, you know, they are also within a paradigm that they want to create and instill this fear in order to get the policies that they want implemented. Now, and I, for the record, don't believe that that reality exists today or that France is even close to that reality. You know, this sort of ability to convince people that the fear of what might happen in these isolated situations is somehow a breakdown of order. Well, like I was saying earlier, I think that power is being decentralized and people can claim it's post-colonial or it's the leftists and the communists or whatever it is. And they're drawing these powers and they want their Islamic hordes to come and invade the nation. And now they're in the nation and they're in the country and we can't react. You know, I think this is sort of people who want to get involved in a political struggle, right? And you have to see it within the context of what I was saying earlier. The French elections are going to happen a year from now in 2022. Now, here should be the danger for the elites and why I am bringing this story up and even reading from the actual letter. It is that right now, according to a Harris Interactive poll, on Thursday, so just a day or two later, for LCI TV shows that 58% of the French people agree with the sentiments in this letter. This was written in a Guardian article that I saw. And that did stop me in my tracks to say that I believe, again, even with a small number of people in the French military writing this letter and publishing it, it's a very small number. It was like 18 active members, right? It is still a shot to the political elites, or I think it should be, that the sentiments in the letter are almost supported by 60% of the French population, right? And so in some ways, the sort of breakdown of hierarchical structures in society, okay, that I was talking about earlier, that I believe is a phenomenon going everywhere. This isn't anyway close to France or just in French society. It is happening everywhere. It is a global phenomenon, which maybe I should give more attention to. But this sentiment, again, ideas can now spread from a rural cave anywhere around the world with connections to the internet, spread on social media or through books. And now, given the advances that are happening all around the world, they can be transmitted within minutes to people who are sitting in a basement somewhere in Marseille or Paris or Lyon. It can spread anywhere. And so that sort of control, look, this isn't to say that people weren't writing books that people didn't like many, many decades ago or in the early 20th century or 19th century, 18th century. Of course, ideas have always been exchanged. The difference now is the cost of obtaining those ideas have been severely diminished. People have now access to that information. So the cost is down. Access has grown significantly. More people are literate than ever. So the ability for elites and hierarchical institutions like the military to control information has been severely diminished. So the ability to control what they once held as French civilizational, I put that in quotes, values, not sure what those values are. I'm sure they're contested severely. Right, I thought it was fraternity, égalité, right, equality and freedom, revolution, right? Well, where are those civilizational values that we're all treated equal under the French law, and that's how people want to feel, right? So again, I think that there is this sentiment in France, right? among people who are not leftists, who are just, let's say, moderate centrists, who very much agree with this sentiment that is said by the military, which is why it's so important. And I think the elites, I would say for the most part, don't get it. But I think actually Macron, who is the current president of France, gets it to some degree. He wouldn't agree with the latter sentiments, but he does agree with some parts of it. And I think Macron is seeing that politically, for him to be reelected, he needs to embrace some of these political values because it's good politics for him, right? To get reelected, he has to sort of take apart this article and say, okay, let's change some of these things. And why do I say that this is really important for, why do I say that about Macron needing to do this, right? Why is it so important for him to steal some of this conservative feeling about civilizational values of protecting? Because the military, as I read in the article, talked about a brewing civil war where chaos and violence is coming against the French civilization brought by hordes of, you know, in this kind of racist belief that somehow those who live outside of the French cities, you know, black and Muslims are coming to attack and destroy French values. The truth is, if you look at opinion polls, a lot of them agree with those civilizational values of a lot of those French. Again, the ability of people not to see that just because you see certain acts by individuals that somehow that is indicative of all of the community is, again, that sort of racist belief, right? That, like, you know what? There's a lot of discrepancy that people don't recognize within the French suburbs. They're not a monolith. Just like in French cities among the elites, there's no monolith there. Really, there's just fights that are going on between the right and the left and some people stuck in the middle. But I bring this up in the importance of why I think Macron is trying to somehow pivot and try to capture some of this sort of conservative feelings is because look at opinion polls right now. And this is coming from a Bloomberg article that says Francis Le Pen gains ground for 2022 election poll shows. And so already Macron must be thinking about next year's elections, and this article plays into that, and to show that Le Pen is already thinking about what she needs to do in order to be elected president. And I believe, and it's why I'm so talking about this, she has a real chance of being elected president. She really does. And the elites don't get it until that reality hits them in the head. Just like Americans didn't really think Donald Trump would get elected until he did. And then people were shocked and disbelief. And I should share some of those stories that people have told me. I wasn't in the city. I had already moved out of Boston by the time the election happened. But the sentiments and how people felt the day after is why I want to share this article, talk about this topic. So here's an opinion poll. It says that Marine Le Pen, whose father was very much a far right-wing figure, shocked the nation, I think, back in 2002 when he got to the second place against Jacques Chirac and actually beat the socialist candidate and lost in the second round, got by something like 80-something percent. But again, he had broken through and defeated the two-party duopoly that existed between the sort of conservative party, the center-right, and the center-left. And he actually made it to the second round of voting. So now people are already talking about Marine Le Pen winning in the first round. Now, again, I'm pretty sure she's not going to get 50% of the vote, right, in France. But you never know how much she's going to get. She could get 20, 30, 40% of the vote. So who knows how far she's going to get. I think she's going to do rather well. She's definitely going to make it, I think, to the second round of voting, and most likely she'll be facing the current president, Emmanuel Macron. Now, this is where it gets tricky, but I want to give you a poll. Look at it, a year out, a poll doesn't mean anything, which is why this is a warning shot that people should be aware of, to at least if I were the elite in reading this. This isn't the military's on the rebellion and it's about to go and topple the government or something like this. But it should be a warning to people that, in fact, this is a dangerous moment in French political history among the French elites. So the poll right now has Marine Le Pen at 46% against the current President Emmanuel Macron at 54%. 54 to 46 doesn't sound like it would be a close election. That is a pretty good gap. But really, it's not a big gap. It's not a big gap 1 year out. She, 4 years ago, back in 2017, in May 8th, 2017, Emmanuel Macron beat Marine Le Pen 66% to 33.9%. So in that time, Le Pen has been, again, building her base. She has been moderating her party to appeal to that, you know, centrist, maybe center-right movement. And again, those attacks on individuals that get publicized, distributed in the internet, the killing of a teacher, and all of this just feeds into the narrative that she has made out to France that chaos is brewing. There are angry black Muslims living outside of Paris, and they're coming for you and your kids because you have French values in you. And the terrifying thing is that as stupid as I think those ideas are, they are working. They work. And that's the part I think the left and the center left just don't get. They can't accept that other people could ever be swayed by ideas that to them sound patently stupid, right? Patently on its face, idiotic, racist, Islamophobic, whatever words we want to use on the left about this. It's so dangerous that there is no sort of countervailing leftist discourse that could penetrate and convince people that her ideas are nuts and that the military officers who are, by the way, facing repercussions for their letter, they will likely face trial for their letters because it is on the verge of incitement of violence and the discussion of civil war, which to me means, and to talk about thousands of deaths from a potential civil war, what are you talking about? You're talking about millions of deaths. I mean, the French military thinks, what are they going to go in and what, slaughter and execute people in the streets of France? I mean, I've been talking on this episode, on this podcast about the dangers of democracy and been mainly focused on the United States, a little bit of Britain. But this is a global phenomenon. This sort of decentralized power that I was talking about isn't contained in France. It is a global phenomenon that is happening. But that, to me, is why this is so scary. In 4 years, Marine Le Pen has already gained about 15 points in a second round. Again, Macron won 2/3 of the vote. Now he's down to 54% against Marine Le Pen at 46%. And guess what? During the election season, she could run a tighter campaign. She could run a better campaign. There might be another attack. It is unpredictable. In fact, I'm willing to predict there might be one or two more attacks. Again, it's impossible to control what an idea gets in somebody's mind. Who knows whatever idea that person get? They could have psychological issues. They could just want to create chaos and not have psychological issues. It really, you can't control what a person does. They might see a target of a newspaper or of a magazine or of a presidential candidate. It could go anywhere. It is, of course, sort of a mixture of sort of political chaos in the middle. But just imagine, Marine Le Pen is running against Macron, and that's likely to be the candidates. I don't know who in the left could take her on. Maybe there can be Mélenchon, who is a sort of a left-wing communist philosopher. Let's say a Marxist philosopher. I'll put it as a Marxist philosopher. He actually, I think, if gains notoriety, as he did in the last political campaign, could he at least counter the narrative that the right so holds so well over so many people? And I say the right is so much more effective in continuing and building a narrative that people who don't really follow politics believe in. They so follow they don't need to follow politics, but they hear sound bites. They hear what they're saying, and they're saying, you know what? Maybe she's right. Maybe she's onto something. I don't agree with everything she says, but maybe she's onto something, which is the same way I see Donald Trump and how he won. He didn't win because everybody agrees with everything he says or how he says it, but they agreed with enough and said, you know what? I'll go with that crazy bag of tricks. Maybe the system needs something like that. I think we're approaching a state where the French elite think they're still in control. And they think that the conversations by a French right winger isn't somehow going to get the ability to be elected. But if 1 year out, and basically 1 year directly from this time period that I am recording this episode on May 1st, no, she can win. It is a warning to you. She is popular. Her opinions aren't really countered. I'm going to get to that at the end here of this episode. But she has the ability to be elected. If she is polling right now, as one poll has her, according to Bloomberg, she could be at 46% against 54% against Emmanuel Macron. That means she's in striking distance. Just one more terrorist attack during a campaign at some point next year could easily sway the votes by 6 or 8 points, easily her favor. Maybe she wins 51 or 52%. Imagine the repercussions to the European Union, to left-wing policies, and she might actually be a populist, and she might be able to pull off some of those French union workers who feel like the left wing have abandoned their cause, abandoned the factories, abandoned sort of rural France, rural factories, and she might be able to appeal to them. And people say, well, what about her racism and all of that? And they say, you know what? They'll put that as the secondary order of issues if they think that jobs will come back, salaries will come back. I don't think she has a real plan for that. I think it's a bunch of bull. But you know what? People can be convinced by that, and they might just sell their votes to her. And I think people just don't realize that she is more popular than the elites believe she is. I'm convinced that she has a real chance of winning. Okay, so given that, I think Emmanuel Macron realizes that she poses a threat, and her niece is even more to the right of her, believe it or not. Marine Le Pen, she is just look at the niece of Le Pen and you'll figure out she's of it. She's even more socially conservative than her family. She's into like Catholic religious order, and she thinks that, you know, her aunt is too moderate for her level of right-wing populism. But so I at least think some in the elites in France are getting the message of just how powerful this feeling of French values being under attack by, you know, their post-colonial theory. They just make up stuff. They basically think it's the left. You know, they just put up these political university ideas as the sort of boogeyman. But here is an article that I've been following what's going on in France. And so Emmanuel Macron has seen wokeism as a threat to French ideas and French society. So the New York Times wrote an article, says, Will American ideas tear France apart? Some of its leaders think so. This was an article published in February of this year, February 11th, by Norimitsu Onishi, February 9th, and it was updated on April 7th, so just 2 or 3 weeks ago. Here's from the article. The threat is said to be existential. It fuels secessionism, national unity, abets Islamicism, attacks France's intellectual and cultural heritage. The threat? Certain social science theories entirely imported from the United States. So they believe that the conversations about race, gender, post-colonialism are undermining their society. There's a battle to wage against intellectual matrix from American universities, warned Macron's educational minister. So again, the ideas in these conversations that are happening on Twitter, on Facebook, by millions of people all around the world pose a danger to French society. And Emmanuel Macron being center-right sort of politician, I don't think that's an unfair characterization. It shows you that, you know, the right wing have one advantage over sort of left wing activists. they can appeal to order and structure and institutions in society. The left has oftentimes attacked those institutions, right? They're always talking about how institutions are oppressing them. The right can appeal to things like the military, the police, who own the guns, who have a hierarchy, who have a structure, right? And look at how now it looks like ideas, these social science ideas that Americans are having conversations about, they now pose a threat. And this isn't Le Pen saying this. This is Emmanuel Macron saying this. But the thing he doesn't get, and I don't think the right gets, is these ideas aren't going away because you don't want them in your society, or that you think that the past historical colonialism, violence, police oppression, discrimination, racism, right? Defunding of schools, of public education, right? You think what? That because those things happened in the past, that now people are talking about them, that you don't want to have a conversation about them? There's no way to control this. I don't believe. And so even if you were right, you have no way of any way secluding France from this conversation. What's going to happen? What? Twitter is going to stop being beamed into French households. You're going to control what French people are able to read. You're going to stop French academics from coming to the United States, to going on conferences, to reading newspapers from other French articles. You're going to stop French intellectuals from writing articles and publishing articles from the social sciences. What are you going to do? Regulate social sciences? What solutions can you have to this idea? I think if you really understand this idea, there is no way to have any sort of control for it except to actually have a conversation and debate about it, which I encourage. I mean, it's why the hell I'm doing this whole damn podcast and even reading the crap that I had to go read earlier in this episode. You know, people think that wokeism, no matter how you feel about it. And look, I'm not 100% in agreement with any ideas, even people who today want to, I think, simplify, as I spoke about in the most recent episode about race and identity, is I think people make simplistic, activists make sometimes simplistic understandings of people's political leanings just because of their identity. And I think that's true. But I don't think you end it by not having a conversation about it or trying to ban it or trying to say, hey, our civilization can collapse if we have a conversation about it. I mean, what does that really say about your civilization? That's held on by what? Violence? A threat? I mean, that actually is, I think, the bigger question is, what holds society together? You know, because part of what I'm saying about the whole decentralization of power that I've been mentioning throughout this episode is to say, I think this decentralization of power that's happening, this sort of power decentralizing, is actually a way of dismantling a lot of nation-state institutions. I really believe that. And I've talked about it in episodes, maybe I don't talk about it enough, but I believe that that's what's happening. There is a decentralization of power that nobody can control. The belief that I think Macron wants, I think maybe it's political. I don't know if he's really going to be able to do anything about it, to be honest with you. And the scary part, I think, for people around the world and what this really pits is that if Le Pen wins, what does this mean for French people, for the French left, for the French economy, for the global economy? Oh, baby, we're in for a ride. Let me tell you, it's going to be some chaos. You want chaos? You're about to see chaos. I mean, what is the French military going to do if Le Pen wins? Oh, she's going to solve all these problems. Really? How is she going to do that? What? Send out the police and beat the crap out of people? Start shooting people left and right? And then what do you expect people to do? You know, what is the solution? You're going to go, what? Target individuals? What are you going to do? Arrest them? Throw them in prison? So their ideas stop or something like this? What are you going to charge them with? And yeah, so again, when I was talking about wokeism, and I just wanted to add this part about people sort of simplifying or the left sort of believing these sort of social cultural warriors believing that you can deduce somebody's political ideas based on their gender or their race or their perceived economic status, I think is a mistake. It's a huge mistake. It's a huge error made by left-wingers. And we talk about it all the time with, yes, I want a woman president. You know, and my answer and my response to that is, yeah, I want a woman president, but it depends what the woman actually believes in. Depends what kind of policies and vision this woman has. I don't want a woman elected who would not have my political values or my political understanding. I don't want a token woman to be elected so I could say, hey, look, there's a woman elected president. Isn't that great? Things are changing. Are they? What's really changing by electing a woman who's a conservative? Margaret Thatcher, did that change anything? I think people on the left, this is the great danger that I think, you know, left-wing politics, I don't even know what that is anymore. Joe Biden winning is a surprise to me. You know, look around Western Europe. I don't know what's left of the left. except like, you know, a Marxist sort of intellectual. I don't even know if he is a Marxist. I'll just call him a Marxist intellectual because I don't really know. But wing populist like Mélenchon, he gets buzz because he's able to break through and say some radical shit. And Marine Le Pen posed back in 2017. People talked about her being a threat to French security. She got in money from a Russian bank, about 7 million euros. They had seen her as a threat. And the fact that she got about one third of the support, like I said, was a almost doubling of her father's level of support back in 2002 when he was in the second round against Jacques Chirac. Now, the interesting part about all of this is that now she's doing about 15 points better than she was 4 years ago. And that really poses the danger for French society. So, again, what I wanted to say is that French security forces, NATO, were terrified of her election. They, back 4 years ago, talked about the dangers that her election would pose to the security of France. Military officers talked about the danger she poses, her election would pose to the stability of the country and the stability of Europe. And again, we are about to approach another election where she could very well win in Le Pen. And you heard it here first on Collateral Banter. That is episode 86 of Collateral Banter. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Danny T. And I obviously will be following the election and what is going on in France. But thanks for tuning in. Until the next episode. Bye.